Our first reading and our gospel reading are very similar to one another. There are differences that are there, but I think it's good for us to kind of look at them both in their differences and what draws them together in that. In the first reading, we hear from the prophet Isaiah a hymn, and God says, "Let me sing of my friend." And then he begins to talk about a man that owns a vineyard, and that person has done everything that he can to create a good crop. He's tended it, he's cared for it, he's watered it, he's protected it. He's done everything he possibly could, planting good seed and putting good vines, and yet in the end there are wild grapes. And then God turns to the people of Israel and basically says to them, "What else could I have done? I've done everything for you. I brought you out of slavery into freedom. I have tended to you and given you everything that you could so that you could find hope and life and joy. And yet there are wild grapes." Wild grapes. And he expresses his frustration and his struggle and also his hurt in a manner that says, "Well, I'll tear down the hedges and I'll let the world come in and do what it does." And then we have this odd thing at the very end of it, where the Lord says, "The vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel." And he expresses his love even as he expresses his hurt and his frustration. In our gospel reading today, we hear a very similar parable. It's different, but we hear a parable that's similar. Jesus speaks of a landowner who chooses to create a vineyard, and he creates it. He plants it. He does everything that has to be done in order to make it there. He puts the hedge around it. He builds a tower. And then he invites others in to tend the vineyard while he goes away. And they're successful. And yet when the time comes for him to collect what is his due, they rebel against him, going all the way to the point where they even kill his son. And this sense of division within that. And I think at the heart, even though in the first reading we hear of God that does everything and cares for it, and he's struggling with the crop he has received, and in our gospel reading we hear of a landowner that leases out his property to tenants who are not faithful and do not fulfill what it is that they are called to do, that nevertheless, the message is similar, that God has done everything. God really has done everything in order to create the environment in which grapes can yield an abundant fruit, and yet he does not receive his due. And in many ways, both the first reading and the gospel reading deal with what we would call the virtue of religion, which falls under the virtue of justice. What do we owe to the Lord? Our gospel reading and our first reading calls us to remember that everything that we have, everything that we are, everything we'll ever be is a gift. It's been given to us by the Lord. And there is something that we owe him, that our religious observance isn't something that I just get out of it for myself, but that is ultimately rooted in the fact that as one who has been given so much, I am called to respond and give back. I think that's important. And I think our culture struggles with that. What we do here isn't just about what we get. What we do here is about what it is that we owe to the Lord for what it is that He has done. That our prayer isn't just that I feel, I don't know, peaceful, hopeful, joyful in that moment, but that because of God's generosity, it's important that I spend time in prayer trying to listen and discern and understand whether I get anything out of it or not. And we hear that from the saints. Most recently, we know that Mother Teresa went for many years without ever feeling the closeness of God. And yet she was faithful every day in doing what it was she was called to do in prayer, into listening. It reminds us that we are called in our life, in worship, to be present, to be open and spend time in just simple thanksgiving and gratitude for what it is that God has done for us in our day-to-day living. That worship ultimately is not about us, but what it is as to our response to what it is that God has done. And being open to that. And responding in gratitude, frankly, whether I feel something or not. That our living of our life is to try to bear fruit because God has borne so much fruit in our lives. And so I am called to inspire others and enter into the life of others in a manner that lets them know how much God loves them, even if in that moment I don't necessarily feel it. But I know deep down what it is that God has done. To some degree, what I think both of our gospel and our first reading calls us to is to recognize that God's done it, whether I feel it in that moment or not. And we know that in our relationships and our friendships. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we just don't feel it. Doesn't mean it's not true. And we're called to live a life in truth, not just in what we feel. And that's true in our relationship with God. What touches me this weekend more than anything else is actually our second reading. And St. Paul speaks to a community of faith and calls them to a life really of recollection. That's the way I would put it. Whatever's true, noble, beautiful, just, think about those things. And that can sound very abstract, but let us be honest about the stuff we fill our lives with. Whether that be the nonstop negativity that we hear with regards to the news that is presented to us, whether that be the things that we choose to fill our life with in order to find kind of an immediate gratification so that we don't have to worry about the next hour, day, week. There's so many things that we can contemplate in our life that, to be honest, is truly negative and hurtful and harmful, and that turns us in on ourselves. And St. Paul's invitation is an invitation to think of, well, what's beautiful, joyful, hopeful, good, sincere, loving. Think about those things. And we can look at that in a very practical sort of way. How much do we consume in our lives that just kind of fills the moment and distracts us rather than leading us down the path of contemplation? Do we spend time with things that are beautiful, lovely, poetic, gorgeous? Do we allow ourselves to really contemplate the good things of life and to rest in that, pray with that, hope in that? Or do we just fill our lives with the stuff that's fed to us? Do we take time to really contemplate the good rather than just the things that aren't there? I think so often we find ourselves in a place that we find ourselves in a position where either out of jealousy or something else, we just contemplate the things that we don't have rather than thinking of the goodness that is around us in the ways in which God speaks his life to us. Do we take the time to contemplate what is just and right and stand for it in the midst of a world that often acts in a manner that is not that? Do we allow ourselves a space in which we just reflect and live in the glory of the beauty that God gives us? Because God gives us so much. God has given us everything. Everything. And when we contemplate that and consider the gift that we are given, though I am not worthy, then at that point, my response, whether it be a vine or a worker, ought to be one of simple gratitude. To say, thank you, God, for what you have given and what I am called to. And out of that gratitude, to come to know what my path is and how God calls me to live that out, not just in some sort of abstract way that leads off into the distance, but how I'm called to live that today. Amen.